In this week's edition of the Fielding Questions podcast from Ag Country Farm Credit Services, market education specialist Katie Tangen is with us. Katie, I guess with these markets right now, the Russia-Ukraine dominating everything, just kind of pushing everything else off to the sides.
It really has. This time of year, a lot of times we're starting to talk about acres and maybe what the next season is starting to shape up like. And not that that hasn't occurred to some degree, but it's just so overwhelming what's happening with Russia and Ukraine and so much risk premium being put in and then, on some occasions taken right back out the next day. It's added a ton of volatility to prices. It's made making any sort of decision, marketing decision anyway, very difficult. And I think there's a lot of, lessons to be learned, but I think it's also very important that everyone focus on the prices that are offered and try, it's not as easy as it you might like it to be, but just kind of try to filter through that and get back to, what's going to make me a profit and can I make this sale today? And then on top of that, we will know our crop insurance prices very, very soon here. And these should be some, much higher protection than we've seen for several years.
Sure. But along with that, though, do comes higher premiums, right?
It does. And, there's two factors that are going to come with your premium. The first is the price level. And obviously, we know those are elevated. The other part of that is what's factored in the background is volatility also drives that premium amount. So you will have higher premiums than you've had in the past. It really depends on what sort of protection level, but I think we can count on at least a few dollars an acre higher. Remember, though, for that higher premium, you're also protecting quite a bit more dollars of coverage. So when we've sat down with guys over the past month or so at these higher price levels, in a lot of cases, not every case, but in a lot of cases, you can cover 100% of your expenses. So you're taking away a lot of the risk that we've seen in the past year. If you go back 3 years, a lot of times in corn, we could cover maybe 80% of our expenses, 75% of our expenses, and maybe just a little bit less than that with soybeans. And that's not the case this year. We can get very close to covering all of it. Wheat, a little bit, it depends a lot on what your yield is. The further south we go in the valley, it's harder to cover all the expenses because the yields are lower. But certainly once you start to get north, we can go back to covering most of it.
Sure. And that'll free up being able to basically lock in some of these prices then.
It does. We still have to be a little bit cautious because we have to remember that the insurance doesn't attach until those acres are in the ground. So, yes, we know what the level of protection will be. If something were to happen, and I don't foresee a massive prevent a plant situation, but in that case, you would not have coverage. So we probably don't want to go over maybe 30% of our APH, but you're going to get something in the ground. So we can make some sales. And I think we need to feel very comfortable making some of those smaller sales. The markets the way they are, I know it's going to be very, very difficult in a lot of cases to pull the trigger. And maybe those are the situations where we start to sell smaller amounts, which matches up really nicely with where we are in the insurance cycle right now. So make some of those smaller cycles, make some of those smaller sales. The other part is, a lot of discussion about basis. And that's been very, very tricky with this Russian-Ukrainian situation, not just for producers, but we have to remember elevators are also sellers. Farmers sell the elevators sell somewhere else. There are going to be situations where your basis is going to widen out dramatically overnight so that your cash price stays the same, even with the higher futures. I know in a lot of cases, there's some discomfort with splitting those decisions, doing your futures separately from your basis, but this is the kind of environment where that very well may pay off. Set the futures. And in some cases, elevators going to only, futures only sales, at least for the moment. They're doing that because they don't know what's going to happen on the backside of their purchase either. So, they're taking it. It's a form of protection. It's a form of hedge on their part. And, you know, right or wrong or whatever your opinion may be on that, those are the circumstances we have, and we have to deal with it that way now, even if it's uncomfortable. So if you like the cash price, that's fine. You know, make the cash sale. If you don't like the fact that the basis has widened out quite a bit, go ahead and set the futures, and we'll have to come back later, you know, let the market catch up, and then we can do a basis, you know, set the basis on those contracts at a later date if we, you know, either catch up or, you know, maybe those are the basis levels we stay at. Remember, we have some very attractive basis levels on a lot of days lately. So when we go back to normal, it feels worse than it actually is.
Right. Do we put offers in at our elevators then for cash, set cash prices or not?
Personally, I think it's a good idea. You might want to scale back the amount. You know, like I said, we don't have to make massive sales. I don't know in this environment if I would make more than a 10% sale at a time. But having those offers in there, we are going to get some very quick spikes higher where you might get picked up. And, you know, we saw that last week when the Ukrainian situation happened. In 2 days, we had, you know, more than a dollar swing on new crop soybeans and new crop wheat. I think it was about 70 cents on new crop corn. Those are some very big moves for 2 days, and the chances of any one person just, you know, catching it, calling it in, and still getting picked up aren't great. So having those little spots picked out ahead of time, having them waiting, is really the best way to approach this.
Sure. What about an option strategy as far as the future side of it?
That would be ideal. The downside to that is because of the volatility, the premium is going to be very, very large. Now, that doesn't make it wrong. It may be that you want to set yourself a window, you know, buy a put and sell a call over it. Remember that that sole call is a maximum price. You're not going to get more than that, but it will make the premium, you know, more digestible. But you're right. I mean, a minimum price strategy would be that the downside at this point is the price is pretty high, especially for those further out months. Short dated options are, and also, you know, one avenue we can go down, the volume on those isn't always great. So you have to be a little bit careful on how you handle it. But that is one way that can work for guys as well.
Sure. As we wrap up here, any final thoughts?
Really very, very important to just focus on the facts. We don't know what the situation is going to be long term. We don't know how it sorts out. We haven't had a situation. We've had Russia when they seized the Crimea, but that was never quite as heightened tensions as what we're seeing now. And it's been a very, very long time since anyone's seen this. So try to filter through that. Try to just, at least for this part, focus on what you need for the crop and let the rest go.
Well, thanks, Katie. Our guest has been Katie Tangen, Market Education Specialist with Ag Country Farm Credit Services. If you have a question about a financial topic that you'd like featured in this podcast, message Ag Country on Facebook, Twitter, or at agcountry.com.